Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Deanna Gertz, and I'm so excited to say that I was a contestant on The Apprentice when it was Book Smarts versus Street Smarts. In 2005, I became the runner-up. So I won for the team of entrepreneurs, and that was a great experience. And from that, I was cast on Reality Stars Fear Factor, where I tried to prove that fear was not a factor for me. I did become the runner-up in that show as well, so two times the runner-up, but it didn't matter. To me, I'm all about grabbing opportunities as they come to you, and both of those came my way, and I was very grateful for those. Then I became a professional speaker and business coach. I've also authored some books. One is the book, I'm Bigger Than This, which is a self-help book. I had the opportunity of being on Conan O'Brien with my book, as well as the Today Show. And I also wrote another book with wonderful authors and motivational speakers like Jack Canfield. And that book is called The Power of the Platform. And right now I'm in the process of writing another book, which talks about how I ended up living in my parents' basement at the age of 30 and transformed myself into the lady that you all are seeing and meeting today, and became a senior advisor to President Donald Trump and being offered a job in the White House. And that book is called Tenacity.
Thousands upon thousands of applicants from all over the country have stood in long lines and endured a rigorous screening process, all for a shot at becoming The Apprentice. Anna is a mother of two who owns a lucrative clothing business and is one of Mary Kay's top-selling saleswomen. She rose to the top with a positive can-do attitude and sharp negotiating skills.
When I negotiate, I start small and I add. Just a little bit bigger.
The best people are the ones that don't stop.
I was going to set the stage, set the mood. We are pumped. We are excited. We actually did a line extension called Wearable Tech.
She's a good presenter. That I can tell you.
Here's what it would be. Meatball mangia. It means eat in Italian.
The meatball pizza, every ingredient was my idea from start to finish.
What you came up with yesterday was
great.
I think it's a great idea.
Thank you.
Tana is a great person.
She's going to be introduced by Bruce Jenner.
When she's in leadership position, she knows how to steer.
Tana, I think you were fantastic and were a very, very good salesperson.
We would basically get them interested, send them into Tana, so we'd get the money out of them.
I have never seen anyone that comes up with more brilliant ideas.
It's called the Dazzler.
We sold more shirts that were studded and rhinestoned out. We rocked the house.
I have never seen anyone that comes up with more raw enthusiasm in my life.
All you players in the hizzy, check it.
She's done a good job considering that's not her world.
Don't mess with the mom from Iowa and I'll take you down.
Every week, you were truly a star.
I think Hannah is my favorite stand-up.
Hannah came up with the ideas and did most of the selling. Hannah, for the last number of weeks, you've been pretty terrific.
I instantly said, I want to be the project manager because I wanted to prove that I was a leader, and I started up many businesses and they're all successful. I've been an entrepreneur since I was a child, 9 years old.
If you had to choose one of the other two finals, which one would you choose?
I would choose to work with Tana.
That would be Tana. Tana, I thought she was a very capable future leader.
Yeah, she is dealing with the reality of being a wife, mother, and a business person.
So everybody should be fired but Tana.
Yes.
How are you going to deal with killer people in New York City?
I'm not intimidated by people, Mr. Trump. I'm just a nice person.
Please welcome Tana Gertz. Out of nowhere, you started bringing out the shizzle piece.
I didn't mean to get me a little bling bling. That is so nice.
Now we need to talk it.
We need to talk it now.
It just came to me, and I was working it, and I got sanctified in Little John's crib. You know what I'm saying?
I would hire her just because, you know, she's a brilliant about it. She goes for it.
What are your plans now? I wrote and self-published a children's book called I'm Bigger Than This.
And I'm still known as the Bedazzling Queen.
Tell me about your insights about him from this perspective of really a man who has made a serious journey and continues to do so.
Well, great. I'm happy to. So, you know, he's been a businessman all of his life. And so he comes from a different era. You know, he's over 70 years old. So back in those days, they didn't talk about their religious beliefs. They aren't like we are now, where everybody, you know, expresses their opinions and their views on all subjects at all times on all platforms. He comes from the old school mentality, which is, you know, keep your religion private, keep your personal matters private, keep your marriage, you know, information, you know, intimacy issues private. So he's not from the era that I am, where I'm proud to say I'm a Christian. I'm proud to tell people that my family and I go to church every Sunday and I pray every single night, and I love the Lord and I love to talk about the Lord, and I'm of a different era. And so President Trump, he wasn't used to expressing how much he loves our Lord and expressing how grateful he is for the blessings that he has. And so that's been a progression, because now the world wants to know everything about him. So
yes.
I came on the campaign trail with him the day he came down the escalator. And so this was all new to me as well. We'd never really talked about religion. I knew where he stood on pro-life because he loves being a father and he loves his five children more than anything in the world. And so we had that relationship where he knew I love my children and love being a mother above all of my titles, as he is a father, and he loves that. And so we had that common denominator that we were both pro-life and both loved the whole institution of marriage and
yes.
religion
yes.
and family. And so then now being on the campaign trail with him, people would want to ask him tough questions. And what I respect about him so much is that he touched the very sensitive subject of abortion when no one would touch that.
Yes.
No politician would ever get close to that subject because politicians are cowardly, usually. And most politicians realize if I say I'm pro-life, I'm offending all the women and all the men that are pro-choice. I am offending all the people in Planned Parenthood. Those people will now not vote for me. And so they have a conscious decision of winning over what is right, what is ethical. And President Trump didn't care about that. He said, I've been given this platform to be the president of the United States. It's obviously a higher power that has given me this platform.
Yes.
Just like I believe getting cast of a million people, you know, is it coincidental that I'm the only contestant that was ever hired to be on the campaign out of all of the seasons?
Hmm.
No, it was a God thing. And so President Trump knew I am being tested. I have to pass this test because the Lord is watching. How are you going to handle this?
Right.
And so I'm so proud of him when he said he was pro-life and what he was going to do to Planned Parenthood and how he believed that, you know, the unborn child has rights. And we can get into wherever you want to go with this, and I don't want to get ahead of you in the interview. But I was so proud of him because I looked at that as he is now looking to serve not only the American people, but our Lord.
Our Lord,
and
yes.
I looked at that as a huge test, and he passed it.
He did. And you know, we in the pro-life movement are could not be happier with the way he has been dealing with this issue, helping our movement, speaking at the March for Life, speaking at other pro-life events and gatherings. And just, you know, one observation that I have had and have made to many others about his dealing with the abortion issue, and you're referencing it as well, the fact that he's not been a politician, that he jumped right into a presidential race without any previous experience in politics, has really been the biggest plus in not only getting him elected, but in his great success as president. Because, you know, he just in terms of how he talks about issues, he talks about them plainly and clearly, just like the American people do around their dinner table and with their friends. And it's not this politician doublespeak and evasion, you know, and beating around the bush. But really, you know, here's what I think, you know, and that debate right. with Hillary Clinton about where he brought up about the late term abortion and ripping the babies from the womb up until the day of birth. He said, and when he said this, he just expressed how so many American people feel. He said, well, that might be okay with you, but it's not okay with me. And just
so
that head-on way of dealing with it, we need more and more of that, don't we? I think that's a key to his success.
I agree with you. Donald Trump, President Trump is black and white in the sense of very direct. Here are the pros, here are the cons. And in an abortion, there were no pros
right.
that he could see and nor that I can see.
Right.
So he was just very direct. He lays it out very businesslike and no nonsense-like. And that's what I want in my president. A lot of people were saying, you know, his tone, oh, Tana, I don't know, you know, his past. And then there was issues that they would bring up that they just weren't sure if you know, he had the temperament or whatnot, or the locker room talk might have got them. And I said, listen, we are not hiring or we're not electing a priest or a pastor. We are electing a president.
Amen.
Amen.
I was saying the same thing.
Yes, don't you want someone that's going to run the country like a business?
Right.
And I know firsthand how effective he is at running his businesses, and I know the level of excellence and standards that he puts on his businesses. Well, now our United States of America, our country, is being run with that same level of excellence and that standard that we haven't seen for years.
Exactly. Well, we're going to take a little break here, Tana, and then when we come back, I want to talk more about the political race. The first one that he won, and we're going to talk about 2020 as well. So thanks for being with us. We'll be right back.
Now is one of Mr. Trump's senior advisors, Tana Gertz, who has been hired by him twice, once on the TV show The Apprentice, and subsequently now to work for his campaign. As we were saying, he's a controversial figure, not all the Republican Party's behind him yet. What do you think he's going to do this week at this convention?
You know what, Adam, he's going to do it. Once his family speaks and the people that really know Mr. Trump well and love him get up and talk about how great of a man he is, what a strong leader he is, people are going to get behind him. There's no doubt.
And we are back with Tana Gertz. Tana, I'm becoming one of your biggest fans very rapidly, so I'm going to apply for president of your fan club. I'll be writing to you about that.
Well, thank you. You're so very sweet. We are very much alike, and I'm so honored that you have me on the show, and I know we're going to do a lot of great together.
We are. And I wanted to go back to that moment when Donald Trump came down the escalator, because you had already known him for years and years, both personally and professionally. You know, and so many people, I have to laugh when you go back and see the clips of all the, you know, the know-it-alls who were saying, oh, no, you know, there's no way he's ever going to be president. You know, this is going to be a real quick campaign and whatnot. Little did they know what was actually going to unfold. But as someone who knew him, what did you think and how did you feel when he announced his candidacy?
I was so excited. The day he came down the escalator in Trump Tower, I was so ecstatic just because I knew this man. This man mentored me. I worked, I had my 18-week business interview with this guy.
Yeah.
So I knew what he was capable of, and I knew that he would be an amazing president of the United States because I knew he would run the country like a business. He's no nonsense, and he gets the job done, and he doesn't ever quit. So I knew his stamina. I knew he was one of the hardest working men that I knew. I knew he was also very, very smart and was very eager to learn new things. So I just, my only concern was how was the American people going to receive him? And I was praying that there were so many people like me that were fed up with wanting our government to take care of us, and they wouldn't. They were taking care of themselves. So the minute he came down and he said he was going to be president, I bet the farm. I literally bet
you
the
did.
Farm.
You did.
I bet the farm that he was going to win it, and people thought I was nuts. And I was so glad that I did, because I got to make history with the president of the United States.
So he asked you to help in Iowa, right? Of course, you're from Iowa, and so you ran things for him there, and tell us how that went.
Well, so he asked me if I put my careers that I loved so much, professional speaking, I had a radio show, and I was a business coach. I loved all three of those, and he said, hey, I need you to put your careers on hold to help me win, because I have to win the state of Iowa if I'm going to be the president of the United States.
Right.
And so I said, okay, you know, I'll do that. I knew that it would be a risk that would pay off well, not meaning financially, because, you know, in the beginning, he was paying for his whole entire campaign.
Right.
Unlike Hillary Clinton, she didn't care how she was spending it. Well, it was Donald Trump's money. Every MAGA hat he paid for, every placard he paid for, every lunch that I took, people that were working so hard and tirelessly
for us to win. He paid for.
Right.
So anyways, I knew that this was going to pay off for me because I was going to make history with him. And so at first it was, you know, Tana, we just need your enthusiasm because we know you're very energetic and the state of Iowa doesn't have real celebrities because we don't have real professional teams. So anybody who's on television is a celebrity. So because I was on The Apprentice for 18 weeks, my state knows me. And so everybody associates me with Donald Trump. So I'm the perfect pitch person and person to go around and tell the Iowans how great this man would be for us and how to get him to vote for us.
Yes.
For vote for him.
Yes.
And so he originally wanted me to be sort of, I guess it was called the co-chair, which is just the face of the campaign. And I was like, oh, no, I'm all in. Like, I'm door knocking. I'm stuffing envelopes. I'm making calls. I'm doing robocalls. I'm standing on the stage begging these people to vote for him. I'm pouring out my heart and soul. I'm telling them every story that I have. And the campaign went, wait, we need her like at every rally. We need her on television because Tana's like Trump. She doesn't have, I didn't have a political gene in my body. I didn't even know what a caucus was. I thought it was a dirty word. I'm not going to lie to you.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like just as naive in the process as the candidate because we were business people. So the campaign was so smart. They said, put Tana on television because she speaks a different language than all the political people who say the same stuff.
Right.
So
right.
I became a national surrogate for the campaign. And so my role kind of went from Iowa to everywhere.
Beautiful. You know, I was wondering, too, what it was like for you on that unforgettable election night. Tell us a couple of the memorable moments.
Oh, my goodness. Well, so I was invited to New York for the big election party. Nobody knew that for sure he was going to win. I believed it in my heart. So anyways, I thought, gosh, I really want to be there with President Trump and Melania and all the kids and the family. But I said, but I can't leave Iowa because that would be kind of like one-upping them, you know, oh, I have a better party to go to. Bye, y'all. So I thought, you know, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to make sure that every stone is unturned. I'm going to make sure that every vote is in. I'm going to work to the very last second. I really don't have time to be on an airplane because I didn't want to risk anything. So I stayed here in Iowa. I did my first media hit at 7 a.m. I was doing media all day. Every one of the TV anchors was like, so what do you think? You know, nervous about tonight? And I'm like, oh, no, we've got this. And they were looking at me like, oh, yeah, the poor little naive, brainwashed woman. Yeah, it's going to be a hard night. And I was just so confident, betting the farm again. And I said, you know, it's going to be an amazing night. I can't wait for my husband to get over here. And we're going to just celebrate the win. And anyway, so I did TV till I think it was like my last hit was at 11 at night. We found out he won. My husband was there. It was just such a beautiful moment being with the team, being with all of these great people from the state of Iowa that worked so hard. My best friends, they just worked so tirelessly, and we did it. And it was just the best feeling in the world. And I went to bed at, I think, 4:30 a.m. with my husband, so proud of me. And it was absolutely, honestly, it goes down as literally the fourth best night of my life, with the exception of my two children, the birth of my two children, and marrying the man of my dreams. It was right up there.
It was an unforgettable night. It surely was. You know, I have the MAGA hat here. And, you know, as you and I discuss, you know, don't see too many priests wearing a MAGA hat, but...
I've never seen that.
Well, I'm proud to do so, and I've already ordered the Keep America Great hats,
yes,
which, of course,
yes,
will be the slogan for the re-election campaign. I thought this was a really genius slogan for the campaign.
Oh,
I mean, it just
too.
It doesn't it express the heart of all of us that voted for Donald Trump? I mean, we believe in America,
yes,
in its founding principles. It works. It's a system of government that has outlasted so many others with peaceful transition of power. And but it's a country based on an idea, as you know. It's not based on geography, ethnicity. It's the
right
idea. It's the principle of God-given freedoms and the right to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Tell me about Let's talk about campaign 2020, because you're going to have a very important role in that as well. We're going to work together. I think it's going to be another exciting and historic election. But tell us how you see it shaping up and what our viewers need to do starting now, because one of the things we very much agree on is this campaign has already begun, and the elections of 2020 are already here, like it or not. And so we need to engage in it to keep America great.
Great. You are so right about that. I do love the slogan. I love the new slogan, Keep America Great Again. And if you think about it, all the obstruction that President Trump has had, if he had the Democrats just moving over, accepting him, if he had the media even elevating him to say, look at what he's done in the 2 years. Let's talk about the lowest unemployment rate that we've ever seen. He's done all this with all this obstruction. What about the fact that he's trying to keep America safe again? He wants to build the wall to keep us safe. He wants to keep, what has he done for ISIS? I mean, we hardly hear about ISIS anymore because he's wiping that out, but nobody talks about that. So he's done so many amazing things with, making the middle class richer again and putting more money into our pockets. I mean, so I'm going to, since I'm the pitch person and I'm the saleswoman for him, I'm going to be talking about his record. What has he done for us already? I never go negative. I never want to say that they won't get out of our way, but it's them. And if they would get out of our way, and he could be better. I just talk about what he's done and what he will continue to do. So the best thing your viewers can do would be to move the message along. Like I tell people a lot, I have a lot of people in California that are very disappointed that their state won't get behind this president. And so I said, that's okay. They will eventually. Move along in Twitter and in social media the good news.
Right.
So if he tweets something, retweet it. If he puts something out on Facebook message or Facebook, reshare it.
Right.
Because the more legs that his message can get, the more eyeballs see it, and the more we can convert people. So the message is going to be quite simple. He wants to keep us safe. He wants to keep us well. He wants to make us wealthier, and he wants to put Americans back to work. He's already done that, but he wants to do it in a much larger scale. He is cleaning up America. Our cities are getting better. He's taking people off of the street and making them productive human beings, giving them jobs. He's reforming prisons. Look at what he's done for the opioid crisis. Nobody's ever even talking about how phenomenal that is.
Right.
Once again, we go back to, Father, what you were saying that, or what I was saying when you mentioned pro-life. Donald Trump was the only person that ever really put the microscope on the subject and said, we got to talk about it.
Yes.
This isn't right.
Yes.
Being able to have an abortion right up until birth, I can't even fathom that, because I was the type of mother that when I conceived my children, I knew at 4 weeks they had, their nose was growing, and at 6 weeks their fingernails were coming in, and at this week they were kicking. So I can't even fathom that. But Donald Trump put the spotlight on subjects that needed to be talked about, as he's doing for the 2020 campaign. He is saying, here's the deal. We need to stop the American peoples that are addicted to opioids.
Right.
If you start looking around at how many people you know that are abusing painkillers, it's shocking. I know firsthand, because painkillers were the reason that I got divorced and ended up in my mother and father's basement at the age of 30, as I mentioned, I'm writing about in my book. So painkillers destroyed my marriage, because I couldn't allow myself and my two babies to be living with somebody that was addicted to painkillers when he didn't have pain. So President Trump was the only one that says, we have a crisis, we have an epidemic, and I'm going to cure this. And look at what he's done.
The accomplishments are just amazing, and I agree, this is the way we have to go. Show people the progress that's been made and ignite their hope that keeping this man in office in a second term, that progress is just going to multiply beyond our imagination. Well, Atana, we have a great country, we have a great president, and they both have a great advocate in you. So I look forward to joining forces, being fired up together and firing up countless voters for a great, great victory in 2020. We look forward to talking to you again very soon. Thanks for everything that you have done and that you're going to do. And God bless you.
Thank you so much. And I want to say thank you for all of your hard work. We know it isn't easy. I know you're at the end, but I just want to say I appreciate you because you're doing what President Trump did. You're touching a subject, a demographic that a lot of people in the religious, you know, leaders like yourself, they're not really touching that. They're treading away from that because that's dangerous grounds because you can offend and you're touching polarizing subjects. And so I want to say thank you for being the leader that you are and standing up for our great country and our great president.
Thanks, Tana. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks. God bless you. Have a great day.
Blessings to you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.